It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's interesting, in 1787 at the Constitutional Convention, when they were kind of at an impasse, and eventually the oldest person at the proceedings, Benjamin Franklin, called the room to order and shared from his heart, and a lot of good things transpired, and ultimately we got the Constitution that guards our God-given freedoms and liberties. But Benjamin Franklin, and whenever I speak at universities, sometimes they'll talk about how the founders were secularist and things like that, and Benjamin Franklin is often held up as a poster child of the fact that the founders allegedly weren't very godly. But Benjamin Franklin quoted Psalm 127, verse 1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it." I'm going to explain why I shared that, but I want to welcome you to The Line of Fire. Alex McFarland here. And I'm so honored to be sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown, who's traveling. He is he's a friend of 20 years plus, but he's really kind of a mentor to me. Dr. Brown and I go way back, and very honored that he would call me up and I could sub a little bit for him while he's traveling. We've got a tremendous show, folks. If you care about this country, and you care about not only the whole America, but you care about some of the parts that make up the whole, like the family, young people, the church, evangelism. You don't want to miss the next few minutes, because I've got somebody who is just a real leader, a real icon in the American evangelical landscape, and I want to introduce him in just a moment. But if you can hear, yesterday I was in North Carolina at my home in the big metropolis of Pleasant Garden. I'm sure most of you go there on vacation. To Pleasant Garden. I was there yesterday, but now I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, Music City, Nashville, there's a big convention going on called the National Religious Broadcasters, NRB, and American Family Radio Network, which is my home base, that we're broadcasting from there, and they've got all kind of studio equipment set up here. It's going to be great. I'll tell you all about that, but I don't want to take up too much time. I want you to meet somebody. And you know, folks, we are going to take calls, and if you've got a call, a question about family, marriage, child rearing, keeping your kids on track, evangelism, you might want to get this number. Listen, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, 866-384-7884. All right. I think I said that right. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, here we go. 866-348-7884. Do you ever have people in your life that, you know, they really make a difference, and the impact they make in your life reverberates for like years and years? Because I'm staring at somebody like that right now. His name is Dr. Jerry Drace, and we've been friends for a long time. I'm going to let him tell his story, but seriously, here's the deal. I went to work 17 years ago for James Dobson, Focus on the Family. My whole world changed. I mean, literally, this is kind of a joke, but it's true. One day, I'm speaking at youth hot dog suppers. A month later, I'm on the BBC World Service talking to the entirety of Europe about Hurricane Katrina. I mean, that was the paradigm shift in my life when I went to work for James Dobson. Got to write 17 books. A lot of things happened. The man that made a phone call and really put that series of events in place is Dr. Jerry Drace. He's got a great family, his wife Becky, and they live in Tennessee. And we were close enough. I said, hey, man, come on over. And we wanted to visit a little while. Dr. Jerry Drace, of the Southern Baptist Evangelists, of an author, a leader, a strategizer, a lot of things I could say, but I'll say this, a friend. Yeah. Thanks for coming over, and welcome to the Line of Fire radio show.
Thanks, brother. You're in such terrible situation here. Looking out here at Opera Land and all
oh,
that.
Oh, man.
What a setting you've got. Bless your heart.
I wish y'all could see this. It's really pretty, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yes, yeah, gorgeous. Alex and I met, like he said, so many years ago when I was speaking to a group of evangelists in North Carolina. Yep. And I looked out, and there you sit with your sweet wife, Angie, and you were smiling from ear to ear, full of excitement. It's like Bert and I were talking about a minute ago. When you look up the word hyper in the dictionary, there's your picture.
Hyper was 10 miles back.
Mercy. And I thought, man, this young man is just full of excitement and love for the Lord. And H.B. London and I had already established a great friendship and a fellowship. But it's a joy, Alex, to see what God has done in your life throughout these years. It's nothing happens by accident.
It doesn't.
Not with God's children. And, you know, as it says, he has the water course charted. He knows where we're going to go. He knows the beginning from the end. And to watch what he's done in your life has been truly amazing.
Well, the Lord is good, and we're just excited about Jesus. And I appreciate you. You and I, one thing that brought us together, obviously the Lord and the gospel, but we are both part of something called COSBE, C-O-S-B-E, mm-hmm. the Conference of Southern Baptist Evangelists.
Right.
And it doesn't mean we only speak in Baptist churches, although that's a thrill. But, I mean, I just was in Ohio this weekend in working with Methodists, and I'll be in a Methodist church to do a revival in a week. But talk about COSBE a little bit, and we have something pretty monumental that we're putting together.
We sure do. The Conference of Southern Baptist Evangelists was formed, God gracious, back in the 60s, I suppose. But when I entered full-time evangelism in 1975, we had about 600 evangelists. Now, in 1975, I was 5 years old. You got that?
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, you know, thou shalt not lie.
Well, I'm sitting to one side of the mic. So, in 1975, when we had 600 evangelists, we now, in 2020, in Southern Baptist circles, have less than 50. And the reason for that, we've often talked, is that churches are no longer having what you call revivals.
That's
so
true.
You're going to do a Methodist revival. That's interesting.
By God's grace, hey, let me tell you, when a Methodist church is on fire for winning souls, it's a force of nature. I probably do 3 to 5 Methodist church events a year.
Well, when you find a Baptist church on fire for winning souls, that's a force of nature.
Exactly.
Gracious.
Exactly.
And out of that, to get back to COSBE, the Conference of Southern Baptist Evangelists, we have a meeting every year before the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, this year we're meeting in Orlando, Florida in June. And on June the 6th at the Holy Land Experience Theme Park. Now, a lot of people think it's closed. The theme park is not closed. They've just laid off a bunch of employees because they're scaling way back for several purposes. But we're going to be there on Saturday night, June the 6th. And Dr. James Dobson is going to be our featured speaker.
Amen.
Through your help and through your intervention, we're going to have a session, a service that night dealing with family. And it's at the Holy Land Experience Theme Park. The theater itself seats about 2,200. We have an overflow room that'll seat 200 or 300. We're asking people, of course, to show up an hour or so in advance, because when you're going to have Dr. Dobson speaking, the president and founder of one-time president and founder of Focus on the Family, it's going to be such a thrill to hear this man talk about what's happening in the family in America. I told somebody the other day, I think Dr. Dobson is to families in the United States what Billy Graham was in evangelism to the world.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to come back to that. Excuse me. We're going to come back to that. And folks, listen, June is a long way away. I get it. But if at all possible, wherever you are, you need to be at this big June 6th rally, and between now and then, we'll talk about it many times, but there's going to be a lot going on. But Dr. Dobson, who is just one of the greatest, oh my goodness, he's going to be there because, like us, we care about revival in America. Now, we're going to go to a call, because this is Kerry in Pennsylvania. Jerry, there's a lot. We're going to talk about your ministry.
Okay.
But it says, I'm going to let her bring her question. It's about her son and his connection to the church. Kerry, are you there? Kerry, you there?
Yep.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for listening to The Line of Fire and being on the show. Where in Pennsylvania are you?
I'm by Reading area.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, Alex McFarland here, Jerry Drace. You've got a question, and we're eager to hear it. Talk to us.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking my call and also asking for prayer for my son, Paul. He was in the worship team at church. He turned 18, and he basically says, "Oh, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't see the point." And everyone keeps telling me to pray. Of course I am. I'm fasting and praying real intensely because I feel like that's my job. But how do I maintain how do I live and not wear myself completely out, still doing what I'm supposed to be doing because no one's going to pray for him like his mom will?
Sure.
And I'm just trying to figure out how, this is like a new stage of life.
We've got a break in a second. Don't go away. And I want to get your contact info because I want to send you my book, Abandoned Faith, Why Millennials Are Leaving the Church and How to Bring Them Home.
Oh, yeah.
But hang on. And we'll start this response and we'll have to pick it up after this break in a minute. But Jerry, kick us off. A child raised in church, gets 18, 19, 20, decides to walk away. Jerry?
It doesn't mean he's walking away from his faith. He may be walking away from what he sees happening in the church, but if you said you were doing your part, dear, all you can do is pray. I always tell parents, God can do more with our children than we can, but nobody worries like a mother, but worrying is not one of the gifts of the Spirit either. So when you turn it over to the Lord, you know, you have to, as the saying is, you have to lay it at his feet and say, Lord, I've done all that I can do. I've done all I can do. He's 18 years old. He's been in church. The word will never return void. You can count on that. And if you've set the example, let me ask you quickly before we go to break. Do you have a husband there with you?
Yeah, my husband and I, we serve at church, you know. And
okay, so the point is, so he has seen, your son has seen you and your husband in church. Nothing can take the place of an example.
Amen.
And you have set that example. Be proud of that. Turn it over to the Lord and just take a deep breath and say, Lord, he is yours. And mean it. That it sounds simplistic, but nothing can take the place of that. And you obviously sound like you've done a great job to this point.
And let me say this. Carrie, hold on. Don't go away. But I've heard hundreds of stories of prodigals, but I've also heard hundreds and hundreds of stories of people coming back. The prodigals coming back.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, you're listening to The Line of Fire. Alex McFarland sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown. My very special guest, Dr. Jerry Drace, coming to you live from Nashville, Tennessee, the National Religious Broadcasters. Much more about hope for the home.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
866-348-7884. That's the number if you'd like to call in. Dr. Jerry Drace and I are talking with Carrie from Pennsylvania about her son coming back to the faith. Carrie, do you want to elaborate on the question? Then I'm going to give Dr. Drace a chance to elaborate on his answer.
The question that I had was just, you know, how do I maintain a balanced life while interceding for my son and not wear myself completely out?
Did you hear at the beginning of the program the verse of scripture that Alex quoted from Psalm 127, verse 1? Did you hear that, Carrie?
No, I was on hold.
Okay. The verse says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And this, the key is the Lord, unless the Lord. It doesn't say the church, and it doesn't say the denomination.
Yeah.
It doesn't even say the parents.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you've been basing your house on the Lord's teachings. And there comes a point in life, we've always told, even with our children, there comes a point when you said, Lord, I've done all that I can do. I've done the best that I can do. And now he or she's in your hands. I find a lot of parents, Carrie, beating themselves up at times, saying, I should have done this, I should have done that. Well, see, that's the past.
Yeah.
It's already gone. So put the past aside, bury it, so to speak, and trust the Lord to do with your son in the future what he's already done with him in the past. And Alex's book on why millennials leave the church is an excellent book, because they leave many times. It's not because their faith has been killed. It's they're searching, they're looking, they're longing, they're lonely, etc., etc. But if you teach the word, they come back to it. And that's something you just, you know, his word is always there. You've planted it in his heart. You've planted it in his mind. Does he have Christian friends?
No, that's we couldn't afford Christian school, and that's one of the things I'm beating myself up about. I wish I could have afforded that. We tried, but then eventually I had to take him out. And yeah, all his friends are, you know, he compares our family to everybody else who, you know, none of them go to church. None of them, you know, it's hard, you know.
Sure. When you get caught in the comparison cycle, it's just never ending. So don't play that game. They'll come a day when he'll grab you and hug you and say, thank you, Mom, for doing what you did. It will come back, Carrie. It will.
And Carrie, if you would give off-air, give the call screener your name and address if you want. It would be my honor to send you my book on abandoned faith, why millennials leave the church, and how to bring them home.
Yeah,
I do
want
to absolutely. God bless you. I do want to give a plug. July 20 through 24, we've got our annual apologetics camp. Truth for a New Generation. We've been doing this ministry for over 20 years. We have a camp every summer. Last summer, we had 86 salvation decisions of middle school and high schoolers. We had kids from seven states last year. And it's $319, which, hey, we do all the camp stuff, ropes course, zip line, and all that. But we have 15 sessions on apologetics, defending the faith, and really just what it means to be a disciple. And you can find out that at my website, which is alexmcfarland.com. But Dr. Drace, let's tell me about Hope for the Home. You and Becky have done this great ministry that encompasses, I know you've done citywide events and church events, but you've dedicated your life to the gospel, but to the family. Why? Why is it so significant?
One reason is because my dad was a pastor, and being a preacher's kid, you grew up in church whether you want to or not. So I grew up in church. I never resented it, and my daddy never apologized for being a pastor, but see, I never thought I was going to be an evangelist or a pastor. When I went to college, my major was pre-med. I was going to medical school. But when, as we say in our circles, when God called me into the ministry, it gave me a whole new perspective for children and families. But I'm like you, Alex. You know, I went to seminary and graduated and went into evangelism about 3 years later. And for 38 years, that's all I did. I had a team. We traveled. We did revivals and crusades. But one day I wrote a letter to a lot of pastors in the United States, and I asked them one question. I said, a quick question with a quick answer, please. What's your greatest challenge as a pastor? And the number one answer that came back was, how do we minister to the families in our churches? They kind of caught me off guard. They didn't ask about building a church or getting people saved. How do we minister to the families? And then lo and behold, shortly after that, I was at a place called Focus on the Family. And I was sitting in a room with H.B. London and Dr. James Dobson. The three of us were sitting there talking. And I never will forget, Dr. Dobson looked at me and said, Jerry, what do you think is the greatest need among Southern Baptist pastors and their families? And I said, Dr. Dobson, I think we just need to focus on the family. And after it kind of caught him off guard, he started laughing. He said, you know what? He said, we do, don't we? He said, some of the preacher's kids and their wives, they're some of the loneliest people in our church, in our churches. And I said, you're right. So he said, let me encourage you to think about ministering to them. So out of that came the conference called Hope for the Home that Becky and I do. Becky is an excellent teacher herself and a great counselor. And we'll go to a church for a weekend, Friday night through Sunday night. And during that time, we do 10 major sessions on family issues. Anywhere from marriage to teenagers to children to senior adults. We cover the whole spectrum, and a lot of it is give and take dialogue. And in these last 20 years that we've been doing that, we've done approximately 300 of these conferences here in the United States and in Great Britain. But Alex, a lot of pastors today, now I am pastoring as well, I've had so many pastors say to me privately that Jerry, this weekend of Hope for the Home has meant more to me as a man and as a husband and father than anything I've ever experienced, because we deal with issues. And sometimes it's the old plumber syndrome. Sometimes the most neglected children in the church are the pastor's kids and the staff's kids. Sometimes the loneliest women in church is the pastor's wife and the wives of the staff people. And so I try in that weekend, Becky and I both try to bring into the fact that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it.
Sure. You know what? I was reading how there's an article on the web that said how millennials are killing off marriage. And it's interesting that as of 2014, and that's, you know, 6 years ago, but in 2014, and I would suspect this number has risen, 64% of millennial men and women, males and females, said that they never plan to get married. Now, I believe this. I want to make a statement that I say to youth, and I want your comment. The second greatest gift God ever gave the human race, right behind salvation, the second greatest thing God ever gave the human race is family, marriage and family. Would you agree?
Yes. Look what he created first in the garden. After he created man and woman, he created family, didn't he?
Absolutely.
And here was Adam. I tell you, he named all the animals, and he thought, Lord, there's got to be something besides this. And God said, yeah, Adam, there is something besides this. Go to sleep, wake up, and I'll show you.
Yeah, amen. Let me say to all the single young men listening, the greatest gift is a Christian wife. Let me tell you. And if God gives you a Christian wife, men, guard that woman with your life. The Bible says that we men are to lay down our life for our bride, as Christ laid down his life for the church. Well, what does that mean, to lay down your life for your bride? Jerry, what does that mean?
You live to protect her, to care for her. You treat your bride exactly like as Christ treats the church. And how did he treat the church? He gave himself for
it. His life?
Everything. He never hurt the church. He never abused the church. He never said, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to walk out on you. He loved his bride so much that I can't imagine him giving up glory in heaven to come to be with us for a while. But if husbands treated their wives that way, can you imagine what that would do to the divorce rate? It would just drop tremendously. If husbands loved their wives as Christ loved the church and treated their wives with that much respect, we'd see a revolution in a great way and revival in our families, because little boys and little girls would see their daddies living like Christ. In our homes, Alex, across America, if the Bible is read and prayers are prayed, usually the mother does it. Little boys need to see their daddies read the Bible.
Amen.
And little boys need to hear their daddies in prayer.
I was going to ask, does America have a father problem?
Oh, do we ever? My gracious. With the small letter F, yes, we have a father problem. I tell people, biologically, almost any man can father a child. But there's a big difference in fathering a child and being a father to your children. And so, if you take the word father with an uppercase F, our Father God, if we would treat our families the way he treated his church, to get back to that, how many little boys, where I pastor now, we have children in our church who see their daddies maybe once a month. Or you'll ask them where they live, and they'll tell you that they live with their mom or someone else. They haven't seen their daddy in a long, long time. The abandonment, the isolation, the loneliness that a lot of little children face today in America, and to think they have no father figure. So someday they're going to be daddies, but they don't have anybody to model it after. That's why church is so important. We have a program in our church at Friendship Baptist Church there outside of Jackson, Tennessee. On Wednesday night, it's called Connect.
Okay.
And it brings in children. Where we used to have 8 or 10 children on Wednesday night, we now sometimes have 60 or 70, and they're bringing in these children, are bringing in their big brothers and sisters, and a lot of them are coming from broken homes. But when they come to our church, they feel welcomed, and they feel loved, and they feel accepted. And that's what a good father does for his family. You feel loved and accepted and welcomed.
20 years ago, when the Promise Keepers movement swept over America, it was great. And did you go to the big thing in Washington? Do you remember that?
The Million Man March?
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah, I was too.
Saw you. You're in the crowd.
Yeah. Only 999,000 other people. Did you feel like, though, that was going to ignite such a movement among men? I thought that was going to ignite 100 years of godliness here in America.
I thought we've had a revival. And isn't that something, you and I both are students of spiritual awakenings.
Exactly.
It just, the flames died down. The embers stayed there and glowed for a while. What we need is a holy breath upon those embers again.
Yes.
But for a while, it was working.
Hey, folks, Alex McFarland here sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown on The Line of Fire. Dr. Jerry Joyce, we've got a lot more, a big show, God and country, family, and you. Don't miss it. We'll be back with The Line of Fire after this brief break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown, talking with Dr. Jerry Drace about family. Hey, I do want to remind everybody listening that we've got the Apologetics Camp coming up July 20 and 20 through 24. We'll be in Western North Carolina, Truth for New Generation. We've rented an entire camp, and we do all the fun camp stuff like ropes course and zip lines and everything like that. But what makes the Truth for New Generation, our big conferences and our annual camp, we only do it once a year, the theme is this. Now check this out, folks, unashamed. Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel. And what we help kids do, middle school and high schoolers, we, number one, we make sure that they have a relationship with the Lord, and we make sure that they've accepted Christ. But we talk about the evidence for Christianity and why it is rational and reasonable to believe in God, to trust the Bible, to defend their faith. And do you know what? And I give God all the glory, but we've had a lot of kids over the last 22 years, and they send me emails. They'll say, Mr. McFarland, I'm so thankful I went to your seminar. I'm away at college. You have no idea how hostile the professors are to religion and Christianity. If I hadn't been to your seminars, I don't know what I would do. Anyway, my website is alexmcfarland.com. That's my name, A-L-E-X-M-C-F-A-R-L-A-N-D, alexmcfarland.com. A week of summer, that's a lot. I get it. Trust me, I do. But I want to challenge you, invest a week that will count for eternity. We have churches bring their entire youth group to our apologetics camp. It's coming up July 20 through 24. So I want to tell you, folks, I'm here in the AFR broadcasting suite with Dr. Jerry Drace, my evangelist friend, mentor, colleague, the guy who got me a job with James Dobson 17 years ago. And I should probably come wax your car,
yes, you
brother.
Should, yeah. I should. Mow the yard.
I should. I'll put my best people right on it. But NRB is like a really big party, and you meet all these great people. If you go down to the floor of NRB, you're liable to see David Jeremiah or Franklin Graham. You just never know. And so right now, I've got, through my connection with Dr. Dobson, Kenny Mauck. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Like a mockingbird. You're right.
M-A-U-C-K.
Yep.
Leaving Your Life Imprint, A Legacy Story That Lives Beyond One's Lifetime. That's your book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, welcome to The Line of Fire, and thanks for coming up to the broadcast suite.
It's great to be here.
Now, Michael Segovia, that works with James Dobson, he called me up, and I've learned to really trust his gut. He said, Alex, you've got to meet Kenny Mauck. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. And we welcome you to the program. And by the way, congratulations on what looks like a beautiful book.
Well, thank you very much. You were talking about youth. Our X, Y, and Z generation, you know, they don't connect with story. If you know, some of the research I've seen is they don't have connection. Mm. What I love about this research I've done 2 years on my own family history is realizing that we should pass on that heritage and story of our faith. You know, my six-time great-grandfather, I didn't know, was a Lutheran from Germany, and he came across on a boat called Samuel in 1733 because of religious persecution. And here we are, you know, 200-some-odd years later, we're still in that same persecution. You know, he came across that great ocean to get away from persecution.
Mm. Wow.
And so I think our story is extremely important, the importance of legacy and sharing with our grandkids.
In context, do you know what? I've found a lot of youth, especially youth that don't live at home with mom or dad, they don't understand their own personal story. Mm. They don't understand the story of this country. I believe America was founded as part of a greater story of our role in the Great Commission. And I like what you're saying there, Kenny. That does give them some grounding. But I got to ask, and I want to invite Jerry Drace, join in any time you want to. Where's home for you originally? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Michigan.
Okay.
And I've been here the last 20, 9 years in Nashville, though.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I've raised my family basically here.
And what part of Michigan?
Flint, Michigan.
I'll be up there in about a month.
Yeah, actually. The water's good now, I understand.
Okay.
It's frozen. It's frozen.
Yeah, it's frozen. Yes. Do you know what? Hey, about 2 years ago, the first week after Christmas, I did a youth revival in Flint, Michigan, 2 years ago. I did not know it was possible to be that cold and survive. Am I right?
Yeah, it's cold, brother.
Flint in January is like deathly cold.
And we were in Fairbanks, Alaska, just a few weeks ago, and the temperature a few days ago was 47 below. That's
Yikes.
A temperature.
Can
you that's when you crunch. You know, when you walk, you hear the crunching sound.
And that's your eyes blinking. You know, that's just, can you imagine that?
Yeah, you want to get from place to place. You don't want to stay on that stuff. Mm. Yeah.
Well, before we go too much further, how can people find you and this book? And I want to get into the book, but you, website, contact info, what you got?
KennyMauck.com.
Okay.
And they can, you know, we don't sell the book. We do donations because we serve veterans.
Wow.
Every day I help feed and do an adult daycare for veterans, and they get to tell their stories.
Wow.
And they're amazing, amazing stories. I lost a World War II guy about a couple of months ago, but he got to share his story. And a lot of times they don't tell it with their family, but we connect them with other veterans, and they will tell their story there. And it's been very powerful. Very special in my life. This particular man, real quickly, his ship was next to the Indianapolis. That particular ship was going to go take the atom bomb and end the World War II. Mm-hmm. But those guys that he was talking to on that other ship, they all died coming back from a Japanese torpedo. And so it's stories like that, just to sit and be in congregate with these veterans and realize, wow, that's just an amazing.
Do you have a mission? You have a place here in Nashville where you do this?
Yeah. It's called Life Care Foundations, the name of our nonprofit.
That's great.
And so we serve veterans, and that's so you're giving. If you're going to want to get the book, you really just got to do a donation, and we send you the book. So,
well, speaking of stories, tell me yours. How did you come to know the Lord, and how did God bring you to where you are in your service?
Well, in talking with Dr. Dobson, we got a chance to share about the importance of prayer. And I believe that because of my Nichols side of the Mauck family, my dad married a Nichols. They prayed every single day for their kids, their grandkids. And because of that, I believe I'm here. So, I was raised in a Christian home.
Amen.
So. Great.
Amen.
A lot of times in our family conferences, I'll use that phrase that a family altar, you've heard it, will altar a family.
Good.
And my mother and daddy, of course, my dad was a pastor, but if he hadn't been, he'd have still done it. We had our family devotions every night. And they didn't tell me that I had to do that when I got married, but when Beck and I got married, we started it. All the way through high school with our kids, all the way through college when they were home. Of course, we still do. As I told the lady a while ago that called in, you can't beat setting an example, can you?
No.
If your parents pray with you, read the scriptures with you, if your dad does his best and mother does her best to live out in front of you the Christian life, that's a sermon that's preached every single day. And that's a story.
Yeah.
I'm pastoring a small church here in West Tennessee, and people in our church, you talk about your life imprint book. We got people in our church who they go back six generations, and the history of a family is so important. It leaves a footprint.
Yeah.
And it's just like the footprint to the cross. When you go back to the cross where Christ died, that's where it all begins with the Christian life. And I don't know what your book is. I just now saw it, Kenny, but the life imprint. Daddies make imprints on their children, don't they? And Alex, when you mentioned a moment ago, what about all the children who come home day by day and there's no daddy there?
Yeah.
Now, I so highly respect single mothers who raise their children.
We do.
And don't abandon them and stay with them. That is an amazing thing. By the grace of God, those children, you know, when they're rescued, it's by God's grace for mothers who stand by their children. Now we've got over 5 million grandparents in our nation who are raising their grandchildren because both their sons or daughters have abandoned their children.
Yeah.
And I hope for the home conferences, one of our themes is God never abandons us.
Right.
And we're all adopted. I love that word adoption. Every child of God has been adopted. So there's no natural birth. We're adopted into the family.
You know, let me say this, and we got a break. This is so rich. Folks, you're listening to The Line of Fire. Dr. Michael Brown is traveling. Alex McFarland sitting in for Dr. Brown, and so honored to do that. Dr. Jerry Drace of Hope for the Home, your website is?
It's a hard one to remember, hopeforthehome.org.
Hopeforthehome.org. And Kenny Mock, your website again is?
KennyMock.com.
Spell Mock.
M-A-U-C-K.
All right. Listen to this, guys, and the break will probably hit us, but we'll come back. I was reading a magazine. It was a psych magazine, and a developmental psych magazine, but listen to this. They were doing a study of married couples that have some sort of spiritual time together every day. Now, we would talk about reading a devotion. Angie and I read a devotion every day, even when I'm outside the country. And I've racked up a lot of money on cell phone bills. But if it's at all possible, we'll read Open Windows or Our Daily Bread or something. But of couples that have a prayer time together every day, the divorce rate was like one divorce in 1,100 couples.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. Now, the national average, I've heard different stats, 53% up to 68%, but it's a little more than half of marriages. Mm-hmm. But think about it. Now, we're coming to you from an overtly Christian perspective. We believe in Jesus. We're promoting Christianity. But even secular psychologists say that when a married couple has some kind of a quiet time, spiritual time, the divorce rate just goes down exponentially. Mm-hmm. So either one of you could chime in. I'm going to throw a challenge to the men out there to become the priest of your home. And there's so many good books. Oh, goodness gracious. Josh McDowell, who is a friend to all of us, he wrote Josh McDowell's book of family devotions. Mm-hmm. There's an oldie goldie called My Utmost for His Highest.
Gracious.
Streams in the Desert. Jerry, what would happen if the men out there said, hey, we're going to, honey, I love you, let's begin our day with prayer and a Bible verse each morning?
This is what I challenge the men to do in our Hope for the Home conferences, give them a chance to respond. If men would do it consistently, I've had men say to me, and they mean it, and I'm just kind of dumbfounded, well, I don't know how to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, it's kind of like opening in a book, and you see a page, and you just start reading. I said, but now let me suggest a place to start, and I always take them to Proverbs. I said, one of the greatest books in the Bible on how to practically raise a family. And that's what we do in
God's Book of Wisdom.
We read through a chapter every day in Proverbs. We've done it for years, so we practically got it memorized. But that is a great, we say, blueprint. If daddies would do that, turn off the TV, turn off the computers, and just have one verse of Scripture with their wife and their children.
I tell you, it also, back.
Hold that thought, Kenny. Sure. Hey, folks, we got a great show happening here. The Line of Fire, don't go away. Alex McFarland here with Kenny and Jerry Drace. We're going to come back. God, country, family, and you. Don't go away.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Greetings again, live from Nashville, Tennessee, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I'm telling you, we're just having a good time. Dr. Jerry Drace of Hope for the Home, Kenny Mock of Life Imprint, a brand new book. And before the break, I was talking about having devotions, and it's not hard. Jerry, I want you to elaborate on something we were throwing out there. Sometimes men say, well, you know, I just can't read the Bible, or I can't understand the Bible. Angie and I have found, you know, I've got a couple of apps on my phone, like Our Daily Bread. Mm-hmm. And there's generally a scripture and a thought and maybe a little commentary and a prayer. And five, 6 minutes, even if I'm on the other side of the world, we can, on the phone, read a devotion, pray together, 5, 6, 8 minutes, and my whole day is different. I mean, nowadays, men don't have an excuse for not being the spiritual leader. Am I right?
I told the guys that day at church, I said, men, you've got a Bible app. I know you do. But when I'm preaching and they're looking at their phone and they go, touchdown, I know that they're not looking at the Bible app. I get what they're looking at. So I say, anybody can pull it up. Anybody can read, just like what you said. But you know what I did all the years of my life on the road? I would call home every morning at 7 o'clock if I was in the United States. And I'd have one verse of scripture with our son Drew, who was a little fella, and one verse of scripture, same verse, with our daughter Becca. And then I'd have talk to Becky for a moment, have a prayer with them, and then they had to go to school. Then I'd call Becky back later in the day. But when I did not do that, the children let me know it. Daddy, you didn't call me this morning. They didn't care that I was running through an airport. They didn't care if I had a meeting somewhere. I didn't call. And all those years, just setting the example without preaching to them. And now they do the same with their families without having been told to. It's like cast your bread up on the water, and in many days it shall return. You know, you cast your example out, and it comes back. And for the daddies who are listening right now, men, you can pick up a verse of scripture from the book of Proverbs. You can open your cell phone, go to the Bible app. And it may sound strange. I know some men are going, what will my kids think if I say I want to pray with them? Well, inside they're going to go, wow, that is super cool. They may not tell you that, but for a daddy who bows his head and prays over his family, for your little boys to hear your voice calling their name before the Father in heaven makes a phenomenal impact in their life. And for a little girl to sit next to her daddy while he's praying for her, that's something no man can ever do. I just challenge you men to step up to the plate and be the Christian men. Don't leave it up to the pastor or your Sunday school teacher. Open the book, open the Bible app, start in Proverbs. Even start today. Read verse 1 and go right on through till you finish. It'll be amazing. You agree, yeah. Alex?
Oh, I totally agree. And I love the book of Proverbs.
Yep.
And Kenny, the story, every family. You know, one of my favorite quotes, Mr. Rogers. I was just in the Pittsburgh airport, and there's a display. Fred Rogers said, there's nobody you couldn't love if you only heard their story. That's a great quote. The mountaintops, the valleys, the good, the hard. What does the story have to do with what God might be doing in our life, Kenny?
I think if you can embrace the salvation and grace of God and realize He's greater than any problem, situation, and He is the God of our story. And if, once you catch a glimpse of that, I mean, I was there where I'd minimize my own story. I mean, I think we do as people, but when I caught a glimpse of that, yeah, and I got, and God called me to take that $600 out of savings account and start a nonprofit, and now thinking back 23 years later, that just that very principle of following God, the big hairy audacious goal, and now hundreds of thousands of kids and families in Tennessee have been blessed because of that 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Wow.
That I basically said, I'm going to obey God on this big, hairy, audacious goal that He's called me to. And now I look back and say, why not me? You know, and I think that's my message is, why not you, that are listener, that are listening to this right now, Alex? They can, God can, all it takes is getting a promise from God and holding on to it and you keeping your end of it and watch out what happens.
Does God, even if we blow it, we stumble, we sin, we have things in our past we would just as soon forget, does God ever give up on writing our story? And does God ever say, hey, I'm done here, and leave us?
No, no. And I'll tell you one thing. I have two grandfathers, one the Nichols side and one the Mock side. My one grandfather was a great minister, and he spoke, but he fell. Okay. He fell completely apart, and he had high visibility, but low impact at the end of his life, just a few of us standing around. My other grandfather was faithful to all the people down the block. He was doing their yard or their, you know, something. At the end of his life, he had, you know, low visibility, but high impact because the church was full of people that he had just ministered to. So he caught a glimpse of that. My story is important, and I'm going to fulfill that part of my story. Mm. I don't know if that resonates to you, but to me, it's resonated huge in my book is what I wanted to share. That
I tell our men at church so often and in our conferences, it's not how chapter one starts, it's how the final chapter ends.
Amen.
A lot of men start out with writing a page, and they go, man, who am I? But it's how the book ends. I am so glad that God can forget. When He covers our sins, they're forgotten. I mean, and they're moved away. Right. You don't have to keep confessing the same sins over and over, guys. When you confess, repentance should follow. You stop it, and you don't have to keep bringing it up. God says, "I know who you are. I made you. I saw you before you were being formed. I know this. Let's get on with life. You know, that last chapter is so important for a man to write in his life.
I'm going to throw this out to either one of you. What do you say to the person out there that's just had so much stuff? Many of it is of our own making, you know, but they don't have any hope left. Their tank is empty. In terms of a personal relationship with Jesus, in terms of marriage, in terms of family and kids, just in terms of life legacy, very often I meet people who are hopeless. Either one of you, both of you, what do you say to the person who almost is out of hope?
Yeah, for 20 years as a therapist, you know, and working with people, that's the thing, is they've got to find hope.
That's right.
They've got to find hope, and that's within, for me, it became a surrogate grandparents, taking on these single parents, and loving them, didn't have any altruistic reason for wanting to work with them except to love on them. And I found that that's what people need, people that will believe in them. And God wants us to be those hands, those hands and feet.
You remember, you know, before the fall even, the fall of Genesis 3 had not yet happened, and God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. Something less than ideal. It's we need each other, don't we, Jerry?
Oh, yes, desperately. That's one of our themes, is hope is the anchor of the soul. And I wear a little anchor lapel pin. I've done it for years, and Becky made my anchor ring in Hong Kong and had it given to me. And it constantly reminds me that Christ never gives up on us. Mm-hmm. But it's a great question, Alex. When somebody is running on empty and there's no fuel left in their life, if they don't have hope, they give up. And to tell them that God never gives up on them, that's where you got to start. You've been a therapist for a long time, and you've counseled with people, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
When a person loses hope, they lose the will to live.
Jerry, I want you to lead in a prayer. We've only got about 3 minutes, but folks, listen up. We want you to know this. Jesus loves you, and Jesus cares about you, and God is not finished with you. But you're going to have to turn to Christ. And would you just lead in a prayer, whether it's somebody who thinks they've drifted too far beyond Jesus' reach, or maybe their family, but whatever. But Jerry, how could somebody pray and turn, beginning now, turn their life back to Jesus?
It's that step of faith we talked about a while ago, a very simple little step of faith. And like the lady that called in at the beginning of the program, God is faithful to us. And stepping out into that darkness when you can't even have a light, you know he's not going to drop you. He's going to be your bridge. His word is always true. And it's a matter of trust. Trust and faith go hand in hand. And God's word does not lie. It's just taking that step of faith. So let me close it out in prayer. Can I do that?
Yes.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time together with Alex. I thank you for Kenny now and meeting him for the first time and for his book. I pray it will impact many, many people. And Lord, there are a lot of folks listening right now, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives. Some marriages are hanging by a thread. Some have children they haven't seen in years. Father, you never give up on us. You never do. May we not give up on those that we love. And yet at the same time, may we hold high your standards. Father, we cannot compromise your word. We cannot compromise your standards, but we can live them out. Help us as husbands and fathers and wives and mothers to live what we want our children to live. Thank you that you care for us, and help us to remember that one verse truly, that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain who build it. Thank you for this day. We give it back to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jerry, thank you so much. How can people find you again,
one
Jerry?
One more time, hopeforthehome.org.
Yes. And if you could recommend one of your books, what would you most recommend for people to read?
Well, one would be the 44 Ways to Strengthen Your Marriage is a good place to start.
That's a great book.
That'd be a good place to start.
Kenny, what's next for you after this convention? Are you on the road speaking?
I'm starting to speak some, and doing interviews like this and getting the word out.
And where can people find your book?
They can find it on Amazon, or you know, they can also, like I said, kennymock.com, and we'll send them on a donation. If they donate, then we send it directly from them. Otherwise, they can get it through Amazon and you know, through ebook and everything.
Well, folks, I want you to be in prayer for this convention, National Religious Broadcasters. Everybody's here, every ministry you've ever heard of, and probably a few you haven't. Pray that revival comes. Alex McFarland. I'll be back again tomorrow for Dr. Michael Brown. Hope you'll join us. God bless you. God bless America. And thanks for listening.